It is easier to forgive an enemy than to forgive a friend. William Blake. The Dragon Pod from Bending Not Breaking, Book 6, Stars, Chapter 7, The Red Wedding. Dun dun dun. I feel like I should be playing the Reigns of Castamere because this is the Red Wedding episode. Welcome back to the Dragon Pod. This is Ben Pruitt talking, and we are excited to be talking about the Dragon Prince and especially about this episode, season 6. We're almost at the end. And I'm really thankful that y'all are listening and forgiving our kind of spaces between episodes. It's been tough to record and get through all of these things, but we're here and we're having a great time. And thank you for listening and being here. Speaking of thanking people for being here, I want to thank our guest for being here and thank you all for welcoming Rena Anikwe, uses she, her pronouns. Amazing artist, interdisciplinary, performs an aspiring harpist, poet, healer, works primarily with sound, visuals, and scent, and so explores a lot of intersections between traditional healing practices, spirituality, and performance, and lots of really neat performances in the New York area, and we invite you to check out A Space for Sound. We would love to hear you check all the cool things that are happening over there, and I'm sure Rena would too. You probably most know her for her being the voice of Janai in The Dragon Prince, and she has joined us before, so go listen to her prior episodes because all of the wisdom that comes out of her mouth is lovely. Rena, hello, welcome back.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Lovely intro as well. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's our pleasure. I was going to ask, are there any projects that you're currently working on that you want to promote while we have people's attention?
Yeah, sure. So I am currently in a piece by artist Jonathan Gonzalez called Spectral Dances, which is every Saturday and Sunday at the Academy of Arts and Letters. That's uptown in New York. And yeah, the piece is about 4 hours. So it's a durational piece that we're doing with an ensemble cast of six of us. And yeah, you can come through. There's also some other exhibitions that the Academy of Arts and Letters is having, as this is the first time that they're opening the Academy to the public. So there is an exhibition I know by Wadada Leo Smith and Raven Chacon, and there's one more artist, and I apologize for forgetting her name. But yeah, we're going to be there until the end of the month. And on the 26th, there's an artist talk with Mario Gooden. And yeah, people can come through. It's free. You can come and, you know, relax through it. You can leave. You can come back. It's kind of a piece that really demands introspection, patience, and just playing with the architecture of the space and working on a practice of deadpan, which has also been a really, actually, it's been a liberating experience, not having to emote for entertainment in a way. But then having that interiority be present. So yeah, that's the piece that I'm working on this month. So
awesome. Well, cool. I hope everybody checks it out. That's a really exciting adventure. Yeah. You know, I realized that most of the recording has been done for The Dragon Prince now at this point. But I'm curious, like, what feelings came up for you as season 6 released? Was there anything that came up in terms of your inner talk about introspection? Anything that came up for you?
What? I was so hype. Like, I just feel like, you know, we had to keep all these things to ourselves as things are happening, you know, to allow the real time progression of things happen. And I really felt like this season, especially between Kareem and Janai, is so important for where things are going. But I also was like I knew things were gonna turn up, and I was so hyped when it dropped. I was like, oh, it's about to go down. And also the wedding. Oh my gosh. So I just, but you know, I had to keep it to myself and everything. So I was really excited for everyone to get to finally see it. And it's also so beautiful. There's just like the animation and the storylines are really progressing, I think, for everyone. And things like the stakes are getting higher.
That's for sure.
So I think for me, I was just like, oh, it's season six. I know, because you know people's reactions, it is what it is, like online and whatnot, like oh, season five, like you know. So then I was like, don't, it's coming, like this is a build, you know. So I was quite excited for season six to drop, and then I watched it and I was like, dang, this is crazy.
That's awesome. No, there's like I loved watching the reaction because it was interesting watching people like get used to it. And it was, I feel like it was the same for seasons 1, 2, and 3, kind of. Like season one, people were like, "The Dragon Prince, cool new show. Not sure how I feel about it." Season two was like, "Oh, this is pretty good." Season three was like, "Whoa!" And it was like the same progression for 4, 5, and 6. It was like, "4, I don't know how I feel about it. I
Yes, that was
like
that one.
it, but I don't know." And then season five was like, "Oh, things are here we go." And then season six, "Oh!" the all of the memes start popping up and like allow the show to build and really tell a story, right? Here we are. It has built up and
Oh my gosh. Like it is at a place where when the season ended, I was like, wait, what? What's going on? There's just also just the even just the opening, like episode one. Like, yeah, there's so much, I think, too, that is revealed about the characters. Especially like the characters that are quote unquote villains, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Where
absolutely.
we're seeing that, as I talked about before, the interiority. And even you could say, I mean, in a way, I guess this is the only species that we have to relate to, but the humanness in a way, or the humanity. I mean, I'm sure elves have a different term for that, but I don't know what it is. But I would even say like the heart behind everyone. I think that's more what it is. It's like, oh, these folks are in this place, or acting from a place because of things that happened to them, you know. And these are the specific things, and there's a lot of heartbreak that I think occurs throughout this season specifically, and that gives us insight into why people are moving through the world in the way they are, why they're as especially with this episode, I really think you see the tribalism that is flowing through this, like through this time for all of them, and why there is this tribalism occurring. But then there's also this other side that is also about unity, right? And so, but I think that people are often operating, or characters are often operating out of places of fear. And so then they're acting on those fears, and then
You're here. I mean, there's so much. I'm excited for us to dive into it in a minute.
absolutely.
But before we do, I want to kind of treat you as the primal source that you are and invite like any sort of recollection or anecdote or fun fact about like the making of this episode or the recording of it or anything that you remember about that day could be
Think
what
back
we're
and I'm like, oh my gosh, when did this happen now?
3 years ago.
Like, is that when we did this? I just know when I got the script, I was like, what? Like just the first read, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, also there's a lot going on in terms of emotionally. Like to be on your wedding day and then get pulled out of it and you're in battle. I was like, this is a really big jump energetically.
Your boy's going to be talking about that later because this is a moment we're going to be having a little crunch time around. But
Okay.
Yeah, I digress. Okay. So, we in the preliminary planning for this episode, we were tossing around ideas for lenses.
Yeah.
And ultimately we landed on the lens of betrayal. And so I wanted to get a little bit from you about like what does betrayal mean? What does it mean to you? How do we kind of get a sense of like a so that our listeners can kind of hear the perspective that we're coming from when we're talking about it?
I feel like it's a letting down and a breaking of trust in a very visceral way that breaks a bond or or like a relationship that you had formed with another person. That's what I think betrayal is.
Yeah, and I think what I'm hearing is the, you know, there are, you can break someone's trust, but once
Right.
you label it a betrayal, it
Yeah.
feels like there's more on the line here. It's like not just a minor breaking of trust. Like is there such thing as like a minor betrayal?
Right.
And I use quotes there because, you know, people who are listening can't see me do that. But yeah, like thinking about this being a breaking of trust that also affects the relationship, right? That seems to be a part of the like the definition from like a Merriam-Webster doesn't really cover that. It's just like a violation of a person's trust or confidence.
Yeah, which
And
I think it's like you said, it is deeper than that for sure. That is also a severing. I think it's a severing of a relationship and of a thread that you had wove, like you wove together with another person,
yeah.
or even an institution, or I think of different things like when people get let down by, say, like even organized religion.
Oh,
In
yeah.
a way too, right? Or even like say you're part of some kind of like spiritual group or whatnot, and that's that the it is really a severance of that respect and of that love and relationship that you had formed with that other person or being or
Yeah.
yeah or group.
I was looking up the etymology of the word, and you know, it has like 17 different roots, of course, but it, you know, starts from Old French. Then, if you go back further, it's Latin for tradere, which is to hand over. And its essentially original use was to hand over to the enemy. And so it's an interesting, like, think about like you are handing something that I trusted you with and giving that and putting me in vulnerable hands to someone else. And I think that like it's an interesting thing way to put about it words when it comes to thinking about this generally and how we're going to be talking about it. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I'm excited to see where that takes us as we dive into the episode.
For sure.
But before we do, we have to do our due diligence, which is the 30-second recap. Yeah. So, do you want to go first or second in the 30-second recap?
What am I summarize? I guess I could go first. Is
All right.
that try?
Remember, all you got to do is remember as much as you can, and that's all you got to do.
Okay, so
Ready? On your mark.
all
Get
right.
set.
Okay, the episode starts out with us seeing the love between Rayla and Callum, and they fly off with their magic wings to get to their next destination. Then, after that, we see the deliberations that are happening with Kareem over possibly attacking Janai's forces before the wedding. Oh, while the wedding is happening, but then the wedding doesn't.
Ding,
Damn!
ding.
That's too much!
Yeah, it goes
It's
fast every
hard.
time. All
There's
right.
just the battle, wedding battle. That's
Yeah,
all.
I mean, you just say that, you cover it. I'm gonna start the timer again, but will you count me down?
Yes. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, and go.
Okay, so the Raylum lovey-doveness, and then they fly, and then Kareem's pep talk and fixes Solregum's wings, and then wedding stuff, and they're both wearing white and gold, gotta talk about fashion, and then Grin and Kazi officiate, and then Ezrin's like, oh my god, Kareem, chill out, and then Pharos is like glowing purple, and then Anya and Ezrin and Corvus attempt to negotiate, and that fails, and then there's cute vows and cute queens, and then Kareem takes prisoners, but Ez is like, nah, Zim, break me out, and then they get a clean shot from Anya, and then Solregum is actually in Catullus. Time,
so close,
so close, yeah. 0.87 over time.
You got far more than I did.
Well, you really laid a great foundation for me. This was a team effort where you really enabled me to get to the end. I think
that's right,
a team effort, you know.
I appreciate that.
cool, so. That kind of leads us into now being able to finally like dig into the meat here and ask you, like, what's a moment of betrayal you want to talk about?
Yes, I think that, dang, and I'm trying not to think about things that happen afterwards. That's
yeah, stuff, right.
Right. On Netflix. I mean, a moment of betrayal is definitely Kareem deciding that it is time to set fire to his sister's army. And I don't know if I feel like he does know that it's her wedding day. Like, I feel like he was invited and he just doesn't care. And he was like, I'm going to put this on this date so that this human and this elf cannot get together, because that unifying would unify the kingdom in a way that he does not want. But the thing too is that I think that he feels that he's been betrayed, which is why he's acting the way that he is. He feels like his sister, and he's, you know, named this, that his sister has abandoned their ways in order to create this future that is not beneficial to their people. And so I think that we're dealing with two betrayals, depending on whose perspective you're looking at it from.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're leaning right now into Kareem's perspective, which is like, if we put a label on it, it's the betrayal of the queen against her people,
mm-hmm.
and the way that like Kareem is kind of embodied that, but also the betrayal of like, it's interesting that you say that he was invited to the wedding, because I didn't even cross my mind that he would have been invited. So part of me is like still processing what that feels like to me. But if he were invited, it's almost as if she's rubbing it in his face, right? With knowing that that's his perspective, knowing that he is so against the humans being in Zadia in the first place, right? That it's this like, oh, and now you're going to taunt me with this union with humans. Yeah, I mean, that feels like, based off of his narrative, a like multi-layered betrayal coming from Janai.
Right. And I don't know if he was invited, but I feel like the timing and the planning of the attack on the exact same day and at the time, like, yeah. It's just a little too coincidental. Like, oh, this is because. Why didn't you do it a day before? You know what I mean? I mean, I know that time doesn't probably move in the same exact way, but
yeah,
it's just that it just seems a little too convenient. So I feel like and if he wasn't invited, he definitely knew about the wedding, because the fact is like, they still have people that's the problem, is there's these little betrayals of them being able to get information out of the kingdom. So they do know that the wedding is happening. Because they do have their little spies, you know.
And that's interesting too, because I think you're putting together, like, there's a lot of subtextual betrayals that are happening, mm-hmm. right, like off screen, which are these, you know, people who are spying theoretically on mm-hmm. on Queen Janai and the Sunfire Elves. And sometimes it's an interesting question, right? Because sometimes it may not be an intentional act of betrayal, right? Because there are people who might have like been exiled, or rather chosen to exile themselves, that are still connected to people who wanted to stay, right? And all of a sudden they're connecting because they care and love about each other, even though they've chosen different sides of this different thing that's happening.
Yeah.
But because they're sharing information, they are able to then relay that information to the people who are surrounding them. And some people are using that to their advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
And that just reminds me of the current like political scheme of the immense divisiveness in our country right now around all of these different like political vying and scheming for power. And how we have people who are feeling immensely betrayed by family members who are voting for a different party than they are. And that betrayal feels like a personal severance of because of the choices that they're making. And that's one way to kind of think about how this exchange in Sunfire culture is kind of similar. You're choosing between two visions of a future, and they're vastly different.
Absolutely. And I think even further than that, too, I think with the leaders that are representing these two visions, people are feeling like one is betraying their vision as well. And even like the people that decided to, like the people in exile that decided to form this new faction, those folks felt like their leader had betrayed them and was not doing the things that they were promised, or that they have known their kingdom to do. And so then they formed this new party in a way where it's like, it's kind of scary how it is mirroring our time, especially where we're at present in this country. It's mirroring this, I think, very similar thing of like a vision that would include everyone, but then what does that mean to the people from before? They feel like they're being pushed out.
Yeah.
Right. And so then because they feel like they're being pushed out, they want to follow behind the person that is going to ensure that they aren't, even though another person is saying that that everyone will get equity, right, in a way. But then equity doesn't also mean equality necessarily.
It's interesting because it's like it's the paradox of tolerance, right?
Yeah.
It's where if you become tolerant of everything, you cease to, like, you cannot be tolerant of everything, right?
Right.
Because somebody is going to feel like something's not going well when you tolerate one thing versus another.
Exactly.
And so what's happening is Janai is saying, we welcome everybody, but the people who don't want to welcome everybody no longer feel like they are being tolerated. Mm-hmm. And so they feel exiled and they feel like they have to leave. And it's an interesting question around ethics, right? Is what is going to do the greatest good? And that's the question here, is like, what's going to do the greatest good for the greatest amount of people is not always the way forward for some people. It's more about, what about me?
Yeah. And I think too, that was something that Ezrin was picking up on and kind of explained really well, is like doing what's right. Right. That doesn't necessarily always, it's not always the easiest choice, but then it's also not always going to be the choice that like for everybody works necessarily. Like you're going to lead with love, but at the same time, someone is always going to feel slighted in a way. But are you going to be able to help more people than just one person feeling slighted? And then for that one person, what does that mean?
Well, it's super interesting with Ezrin's. This whole Ezrin thing is fascinating to me, because going back off of our original conversation with Kareem feeling betrayed because of the union between elves and humans, like Ezrin showing up, not with any elves, Ezrin, Queen Anya, who is another human, and Corvus, who is another human, showing up to negotiate with the elvish supremacist is a wild choice.
Well,
and so like, it, I mean, Tell me I'm wrong.
No, but you're actually not, because also his reaction totally made sense, because it was like, okay, first of all, y'all are insulting me because you sent a child. Like, to him, he doesn't even recognize. He's like, I don't recognize humans. So now you're telling me this kid is a king, and so I'm supposed to feel some certain way about that, like, oh, the envoy is royalty, right? That doesn't register to him. But not only that, you didn't send any elves, which I think is actually insane.
Well, it was just, it's a wild choice, right? It, to me, what that shows is either severe oversight on Janai's part, right? And granted, it was Ezrin who wanted to go. Ezrin was the one who was vying for this, not Janai.
Right.
But like, if I were to send an envoy to negotiate with people who do not like humans, I probably would not send a human.
And also by himself with a human guard. Because then it's like a threat. It feels more like a threat, like, oh, y'all are threatening us instead of really trying to talk. And I mean, at that point too, I think there is something that, in the sense it's like, okay, this is in the middle of their marriage. It's brother and sister. Sometimes with your family too, you have different ways of operating than you would, like, say, with a stranger or somebody else who's not in your family. Because I think there's a lot, especially just like between Janai and Kareem, where it's like one of each of them are saying, like, this is how we need to do things because it's better for everyone. But they're both saying that, right? So her even just being like, okay, fine, Ezrin, you go, is kind of like, well, he needs to get used to it. You know what I mean? Like, this is how things need to be so that everyone is okay. And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? You're still not listening. So I feel like that's also kind of an underlying part of it as well, you know.
Well, and it's just interesting too, because I think what this is telling me, right? If I'm like, what am I walking away with in terms of the learning here? If I am trying to meet someone in the middle and actually negotiate and actually entertain change, then I need to approach the situation from the point of the other person's betrayal, right? Like, because for me, if I'm thinking about being from Janai's perspective, what do I really want out of this conversation? If I want something to actually occur and change to actually happen, then it seems like I need to approach the situation with an understanding of why Kareem left in the first place. And how am I going to send a conversation or create and approach the conversation from a point of helping him feel at least somewhat mollified, if only for the purpose of negotiation? Right? Does that seem like a
Yeah,
fair
no,
point?
it makes complete sense. And I think too that, that even like she had a really strong resistance to even Ezrin going and even speaking to Kareem. She's like, yeah, there's no point. Let's just go and squash him, get back to this wedding, do what we got to do. Like, he's gonna lose, so we'll give him the thing that he wants. You know what I mean? So I think there's a part of it that's like, just to appease Ezrin, like, okay, you go do this thing that you really want to do, and your aunt is behind you and doing this, so I'm gonna let this happen. But I don't really think that she had any thoughts. She's like, oh, she's probably just gonna let like send him back and be like, we're not, it's there's no deal. But because they don't know that he has this plan with Sol Regum, then he's like, nah. Like, also, I don't think that she truly does not believe, and I think it is because it's brother and sister. She doesn't believe like how far that he would go. Like, that's like a constant thing. She's like, he won't do that. But he's like, oh, no, I'm gonna kill everyone. But I don't think she was like, he's gonna kill everyone. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm gonna kill everyone.
Well, it's fascinating, right? Because there's a lot of assumptions that are being made on both parties, right? Like, Kareem is going into this with an assumption, and so is Janai. Janai's like, I'm through with him. He's not to be reasoned with. There is no, like, he's in a way, it's like, he's just being stubborn and doesn't see things rightly. And I'm just gonna go, curb stomp his army for a second. And then he's like, I'm gonna play on that arrogance, right? You think you're gonna be able to just play with this, and I'm gonna be like, let me show you what's up. And it's just a really wild ride to think that that wouldn't be questioned, right? Why would Kareem show up today with a smaller army and provoke me today, right? There was just no filtering on either part of like a backup plan. And I just like, I wonder about that because it feels arrogant on both parties' sides.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know, like, is that a question for the lens, right? Does feeling betrayed cloud our judgment in absolutely. A way that makes us come across like lose our humility in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's also behind a lot of decisions that are made, unfortunately. When people, you know, feel betrayed, then they can't think and operate out of a healthy place, right? Because you're operating out of the place of hurt. So because you're operating out of the place of hurt, there's a lot of thinking that goes out of the window. And I think in both of their cases, there's a lot of thinking that went out the window. Like how, I don't know how Kareem thought that Sol Regem was to be trusted. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so angry and so mean from jump that I was like, yeah. And then unfortunately, like even the thing that he wanted healed, right? He was like, am I allowed to curse on here? Okay. He was like, fuck the eyes. Like, get my wings going. Like,
my wings.
I know. Because the thing was like, and then for the little operator to get bit by Arbus, I was like, that damn worm got him. Like, it just, I was.
Damn worm.
Biting everybody, ruining everything. You know what I mean? But I mean, from my perspective as Janiyah, I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I don't know what happened.
As
a viewer, I was like, dang. Like, they really. I also wonder if Sol Regem would have, like, even if he hadn't been, is now being controlled. Like, I wonder, though, too, would he have, would he have done followed through? I don't know what type of dragon.
Because like, right?
Yeah, I wonder. Because
he was talking about, like, in prior seasons, he definitely loathed humans.
Yes.
Right? But him working with Kareem to theoretically go after more elves was an interesting choice. Part of me, like, it's not revealed in this episode, but knowing what's coming, yeah. Right, it's unclear, like, they show that Pharos has been, you know, bit by this worm, but it's mm-hmm. unclear whether Sol Regem to me, it feels like Sol Regem's in control.
Yeah, and because I understand that that's the odd, like, Pharos is assisting. But Pharos isn't in control of him. Yeah. Like he's just serving as his eyes. So yeah. He's just helping him to fly like to where he needs to fly. So maybe he doesn't know. But I mean, he's a dragon, right? He can feel changes in humidity.
Yeah, boy,
and
yeah.
In temperature.
Well, and that's the thing. He felt, I think, and it's based off of the conversation that we hear, spoiler, from Erebos talking mm-hmm. to Sol Regem later.
Right.
It's this sense of like, yeah, I gave you everything you wanted and you fell into my trap exactly as I planned. And so like it feels very much like Pharos being controlled by Erebos was him not interceding and going back to tell Kareem about this.
Right, right. Right.
More so than it was Sol Regem being controlled and taken to Catullus.
Right, because I'm like, he's not, it's like, he's not controlled, he's not being controlled. Like, he's not corrupted until, you know, later, but he, like, only Pharos at that point is corrupted. And I'm like, I kept wondering about that. I was like, nah, he didn't want to do that anyway. I was like, he was yeah. like, oh, good, they fixed my wings, I'm out of here. And, you know, because the thing, too, is that there have been so many violations of pacts as well, which is also more betrayals. Right. They those two, him and Kareem, had made a pact. And so also knowing in like that world and say I would say that culture, these are the things that you're supposed to do. And they agreed on it, like they shook on it, what and whatnot. And then he betrayed him again. So then Kareem is just, I'm sure his little heart, his little Sunfire heart is just
Well, it's kind of fascinating to me too, because in a way, it's the betrayals and the dark magic, right, is what
cracking.
enables Erebos to gain control of you in some way, shape, or form. And it's these betrayals that allow you to be more easily manipulated, right? And so there's a bigger metaphor here around, like, when you betray people, you are giving yourself over to further, quote, corruption. But, that brings us to an interesting point. And just to shift the conversation a little bit to thinking about, like, these other forms of this that are happening from, like, the hero perspective around, like, it's interesting to me to, like, I feel there's that ick that comes with watching people who are so lovey-dovey that it's like too lovey-dovey, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God, ew. Not everyone feels that, but I feel that. I'm like, oh my God, that in this beginning. And so on a minor level, I was betrayed by the show because they fed that to me.
You're like, this is a little heavy hand. Why are they making out like this? It's too early in the morning. Like, let's calm down.
Yeah.
But I also, but I think there's something valuable in what you're saying there, because remember, there is also a cover up in a way, right? And that betrayal does leave an opening of allowing oneself to be vulnerable to then be more susceptible to violate their core values. And I think that's really what's behind it.
Well, and it's interesting too, because the reason it took so long to get to them being this lovey-dovey is because of those betrayals. Like, Rayla left him, right? She was in pain. She had understandably left for a reason, and had, like, whether that reason was valid or not is up for people to discuss. But, like, she had a reason to leave. He had a reason to be hurt, right? But that's the whole point of, like, this. I think an episode or two before this, where Callum wants to redo this scene where Rayla comes back, and he wishes he had put aside that feeling of hurt and just said, "Hey, I love you," right? But he couldn't because he felt betrayed. And that story of betrayal dictates our decisions, right? And we see it happen over the course of 5.5 seasons, or, like, right? So it's just an interesting situation to kind of what does it take to get to this moment of being in a relationship where the other person is your, sense of true north, right? Or in this kind of world, like, your North Star, so to speak. So I thought that was an interesting question, just around betrayal and its relationship to love, right? Because I don't think love can survive betrayal unless it is healed. And that's exactly what we see.
And that's the, I think that's that's why I'm like, dang, Kareem is just getting dug deeper and deeper in, right? Janai has found a salvation, so to speak, right, with her partner, with Amaya, because Amaya really is that other side for both of them. They serve that for each other. Like, hey, when I'm gotten completely out of my head because I'm letting my emotions run me, and then I have this other person here that can be rational and be like, hey, hold on a second. Let's take a step back. Let's take a breather. This is another way to look at this. You know what I mean? And so they found that, and that's because of love, right? Because of love, then they're able to then be a bit more compassionate. But then when you become betrayed and then it's not healed, then you keep operating out of that hurt place, and then that's when more people get hurt.
Yeah, hurt people, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of caught by their wedding vows, and I guess I'll paraphrase them, but, like, Janai's wedding vows are really just like There are borders and there are walls, but they will not come between us. We will stand undivided. That is my commitment to you. And then Amaya comes back and says, yeah, our love is malleable. It shifts, it changes. And it is because of that that it will endure, right? Mm-hmm. It's because of that that we will be able to make it through whatever comes our way.
Yeah.
And I just find that to be really beautiful, because what it's saying is that we're going to work together. That is my commitment. And when something comes up that makes us feel divided, right? Like Amaya saying, listen, we are going to roll with the punches that come. And I think that that's a really beautiful tie-in to kind of give us the tools to work around problems in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so mm-hmm. I found those to be really cute.
Yeah, I thought they were really beautiful vows.
Yas, queens.
I know. I was like, let's go. I was all choked up. I was like, this is so beautiful. Even I remember recording it, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
Okay, well, this has been a lovely discussion, but I want to give our listeners a little break, let them listen to the transition music, mm-hmm. and we'll come back, and we have a couple practices left. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. We're so excited that you're here still listening. This is there are three sections of three when there are nine. So 9 divided by 3 is 3. And so this is the first episode of our third section. And therefore, we have a new sacred practice that we are doing to round off the end of our season. So we did some part days. We did some fun things like with Lectio Divina. And now we are going to branch into a new practice. And this practice we have done before on the pod, but I want to tell everybody about it again. It is called Florilegium. And that stems from a Latin phrase or a Latin word. It is the plural for Florilegia. And essentially, it's a compilation of excerpts or sententia from other writings. And you basically pull all of the flowers from a text and make a bouquet, so to speak, of your own personal favorite things that stick out from the text. And so it literally means like to gather flowers or a gathering of flowers. And it's essentially you, as you watched through The Dragon Prince, many of you probably have documented your favorite quotes and things like that. And those are Florilegia. Those are the things that you've pulled and you've created your little bouquet of Dragon Prince quotes. And what is beautiful about that is you can then treat that separate bouquet, that collection of quotes, as its own text. And that's what we're kind of going to do today. We're going to take together two quotes that Rena and I picked, and we are going to talk about why we picked that quote. What is it about it that sparkled up at us, or that we heard it and we smelled it, and I was like, ooh, that's a pretty flower, and that's why we picked it. So we're going to talk about why we picked it, why it stood out to us, and then what we're going to do is we're going to put them together and see if they affect each other at all, and see if we can arrive at perhaps a new meaning. But before we do that, I want to invite you, Rena, to share your quote with us. And you have picked a quote, and it's available for everybody to hear. And I'm excited because I have a quote and you have a quote, and we theoretically have not put them together before. So whenever you're ready, I will invite you to share your quote.
Okay, the quote that really stood out to me this episode was from Amaya. Just because all you see is clouds doesn't mean the sun isn't shining.
Oh, this is so good. And this was from, Kazi in the beginning was like doing the sun's blessing, and the sun was out and it was lovely, and then the clouds were like, nope, sorry.
It's not
And
happening.
they paused it, and then Janai was like, we're not waiting anymore, stop
No, we
that.
can't do this. Let's go. Let's go. And also, that was also, it simultaneously was kind of like a foreshadowing, because that burst and cloud, the plume had happened because of Scream calling on the sun with Liana, right, to heal the wings and everything. So it was like, yeah, this was a bit of foreshadowing. Like, they didn't know what was going on, but then love came through again.
Well, and it's interesting too, right? Like, I love this idea that just because all you see is clouds, right? Just because the clouds are there doesn't mean, like, literally, it would be dark.
Right, which is so true. You know, when you're on a plane and say it was raining when you were down on the ground or something, or it was really cloudy, but then when you get on the plane and then you go above the clouds and you're like, oh my gosh, it's sunny up here. And I always have to remember that. I'm like, oh yes, the sun is still there. Maybe a cloud just moved in front of it. And then maybe
Well,
the clouds move out, you know?
yeah, it reminds me at summer camp, one of the directors who is all about safety would say, make sure you're still wearing your sunscreen because the sun is.
Okay. Oh yeah, it will still sunburn you, baby. It's still gonna happen. Yeah.
And that's so true, right? And so in the same way, this is like carrying this like metaphorical quote of kind of representing a Maya. It's a Maya who says this, right? It's Grin who says this aloud, a Maya who signs this. But it's this idea that this is kind of representative of her vows, right? Where like, and we haven't heard them yet at this point in the show, but it's she's the one who's saying, we're gonna roll with the punches. We can move, we can do okay with change. I love it. I love this quote.
I love that quote.
I picked a quote from Prince Ezrin. And this was a little more pointed, but it's it's almost as if before this quote, he is reasoning with himself rather than reasoning with Kareem. And then he ends by saying, do you love your sister, Prince Kareem? And it's almost as if he figured it out. Like he was trying to figure out, like, why would you act like this? Why would you act like this? And then he's like, okay, let me try going about it this way. And he asks him, and that was the first time that Kareem actually gave a non-smug response to conversation. And it's when he actually began to question what he was doing. He was like, of course I love her. And then it's like he actually thought for a moment, and there was this like, oh, interesting. There's some cognitive dissonance here. This is what we're trying to create. So I thought that was a really powerful question,
Yeah, I
which is,
agree. It stopped him in his tracks. He was like, what? Like, why would you ask me that?
yeah, exactly.
It is a valid question. It was like, so you're about to do what? You're
Yeah.
about to just wipe them out, but you love your sister, right? Right? Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because his immediate reaction was like, of course I love her.
Right.
Like, you're about to light her on fire.
Okay. We
Like,
don't know if people are coming back from this. That's a dragon. That's not just little, you know what I mean? That's not the regular fire, sunfire, L fire. That's not heat being mold fire. That's dragon fire. That's different.
yeah, for real.
Okay? That's very different. And also, I think because Ezrin was trying to weave this thread, I keep using this analogy, but yeah, really trying to create this connection between him and Kareem and understanding, talking about love and how leading with love is a choice. Right? He's like, but if you love your sister, then you can make a choice to choose love instead of violence at this point, right?
So amazing. We kind of have an idea of why you chose your quote, and we have an idea of why I chose mine. And what I want to do now is treat these two quotes together as a text. And so I'm gonna read them in reverse order just for shiggles. And I want to see what that does and how it changes how we receive the quotes. And so I'll read them together. Do you love your sister, Prince Kareem? Just because all you see is clouds doesn't mean the sun isn't shining. Damn. Yeah, so like how does that change the effect, right? What do you hear when we put those two together?
That's powerful because he's saying just because you're seeing all bad now doesn't mean things can't be actually good. Like just because you're only able to see your perspective and you think this is terrible for the elves, for the Sunfire elves, doesn't mean that, everybody being together and growing and building and evolving can't be a beautiful thing. Because
Yeah.
maybe this is the goodness that is behind all of this, but you're not seeing it.
Yeah. Well, and the way it reads too is it sounds as though Ezrin is saying the whole thing. It sounds like it's a continuation of the same question. And it makes it all the more pointed, right? Like it's as if Ezrin is leaning into the fact that you're a Sunfire elf. The sun is your language, right? So I want to use your language. And that kind of metaphor is a part of Kareem, right? And so it's interesting to kind of think about how what it does to use the same language and rhetoric and understanding as the people you're talking to I use. So I guess that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah, it's also interesting too that Amaya is the one that said that, I think, because it really does show the connection between her and Janai and like wanting to understand and be part of the Sunfire elf culture as well. Like, this is a culture that she's marrying into and is her partner's culture. And so she's understanding how powerful the sun is for them. And to use that analogy, I think is a really beautiful thing because she's also seeing how present it will be in her life as well.
Yeah, and just like it kind of just evokes the whole wedding, right? Which is an
Species, right?
Intercultural
Intercultural, interspecies. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
is inter-race, not race.
Yeah, it's interracial as well, too. There's a lot of blending that is like beautiful blending that's occurring.
And it's just like the enmeshment of all of the things is creating unification in a way that is. I think also what it does is it just to bring it back to betrayal for a second, is it I am handing you something that you now have capacity to, ruin me with, right? You now have the, metaphorical key to my destruction just by handing you this vulnerability of being with me in this way, sharing of these things. And it says that this is a commitment ceremony in which I trust that you won't betray this, which is a, it's a beautiful thing. That's kind of neat. Okay, well, thank you for indulging me in this sacred practice. I love how when you pull two quotes together, sometimes the meaning changes completely, and sometimes it gives us a little bit more understanding. And I love how that kind of brought us into Amaya's understanding of using that language. It's just a really neat practice. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me to do that. It's pretty
Yeah.
cool.
So we always end with gratitude. I would love to invite you to be thankful for a character in this episode. Who comes to mind as you think about who you want to be grateful for?
That's a great question. I think I'm grateful for Amaya. I'm grateful for Amaya.
Who isn't?
I know, seriously. She's so awesome. Yeah, I'm grateful for Amaya. I'm grateful for her patience, her generosity, and also, yeah, her optimism,
Yeah,
I think that's important in
for
times
her
like these.
style like that.
Okay. Also, that haircut. Let's really talk about it.
Listen, that haircut, that pantsuit, all of
Let's
that.
go. Like the how the fit. Come on.
Yeah.
They were looking like, what? I was like, they were eating down. Like, that's all I have to say about that. I was like, they ate down for that wedding. So
Yeah,
the
that was
girls were ready. Okay. The girls were ready.
superior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really thankful for Anya in this episode. Like Queen Anya is like every time she shows up, she is badass. Let's be real. But like at the same time, one, her aim impeccable. Two, her arsenal of arrows super neat. Three, big fan of the small talk between her and Ezrin during this wedding of like two world leaders just chilling, being like, "How's Catullus?" It's fair. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's fair. And it's just
Yeah.
like,
Talking about cake tasting like fire.
yeah,
Her tastes like
like
fire.
I better get a piece of that cake. It's just
Yeah,
there's a little bit of the humanity, I think, that when you're talking to someone who's in, quote, on equal status as you, that gives you a chance to like talk to someone in a way that you don't normally get to talk to.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I felt like she was giving Ezrin a little bit of that, and Ezrin was like meeting her there. And so I don't know, it just felt like she was very supportive. She was very eager to be present and not just sit idly during this like literal war that's happening.
Yeah.
Invited to a wedding. I don't know.
Right.
It just felt
Yeah.
like she was very engaged and also similar to Ezrin, bought into doing what she feels is right.
Exactly. And also their age, you know, the fact that it's like, oh yeah, sometimes you also want to be a kid. I mean, they are kids.
Right?
They don't always get to these are actual children. Oh my gosh. They don't actually get to be kids very often because it's like, oh yeah, I'm a king. Like he then had to go be an envoy. Like, what? During
Yeah.
a wedding to stop a war. Like,
Little bruh, just chill for
just chill. Literally.
a
Just calm down. Dang. I was trying to do some kingly things. No, that's what he's supposed to do. But for those little moments, it was like, and then she just came through. She was like, let's get you out of here. Like, I got you. Yeah.
She's a
Yeah.
winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Know. What a lovely conversation we got to have.
Yeah, it was lovely. I loved it.
Yeah,
Ah.
it was.
So, if people who've been listening to this wanted to find you, how
Yeah.
would you invite them to do so?
I'm on the socials. I'm not good at it because I'm definitely feeling that fatigue that everyone was always feeling, the monster of social media. But I am on the Instagram. I'm not. I was quite active on Twitter, but I've deleted it.
Also have stopped Twitter. Hear
Yeah. So
that?
yeah, it's not good. It's very unhealthy on there, and yeah, I'm not enjoying it. I just deleted this week, so I'm like, we'll see how this goes. But I'm signed out on the computer as well. But yeah, so I think probably Instagram is probably where I'm the most active, and I'm not quite active there, but I'm always randomly on there, and my website. I don't know. I'm guessing I'm not as online as I used to be, but I think that that's where people could find me.
Yeah,
That's
if they
probably,
wanted to, you would
yeah,
find Rena there.
absolutely. I know two people commented on one of the sound baths that I did, and I thought it was so funny. They said they came here to see if she sounds like Janai.
That's
Was
all.
like, this is hilarious. This is like,
Thank you for supporting my work, even if
yeah, thank
you
you.
hear
Yeah,
that.
I know. I'm like, I'm not talking in Sunfire Elf dialect, so you know, but it is me. She is me. But yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Well, listeners, thank you so much for listening. This has been an incredible episode with Rena, and with you. We're grateful for you. If you want to support the podcast, you can always support us on Patreon. We're still there. We'll see how long, but we're still there. And you can definitely join. We're still doing live action episodes of Avatar: The Last Airbender. We're in season 3, so the getting is good. And so we do that once a month, and we invite you to join. BNB_pod on all the things except Twitter. But we're here and we're excited, and we'll see you next time. until next time, be well and do good.